In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So today we'll concentrate on just the first five verses. Who is the greatest? At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to them, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Why would they ask that question now? Why would the disciples go up to Jesus and say to him, "Who is the greatest among us?" Does anyone have any idea? Does anyone recall how chapter 17 ends? Anyway, what happens is that they come to Jesus and St. Peter and say to him, "You have to pay your taxes." And then Jesus says to them, "Fine, Peter, go get a fish out of the water, go fish, and take whatever money you find in there and give that to them. And you'll pay for me and for you the tax." And so when he does that, the rest of the disciples are there and they recognize that. And it disturbs them. It disturbs them because the same tax was paid for Peter as it was paid for Jesus. St. Jerome says this, because the other disciples had seen that the same tax had been paid for Peter and the Lord, from that equal price, they inferred that Peter may have been set over the rest of them. And Peter had been compared with the Lord and paid the same tax as the Lord. So then they ask, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of God?" And Jesus, seeing that, wants to heal their error. He wants to heal their desire for glory with a struggle for humility. So St. Jerome says, the disciples are sitting there and are saying, what's going on? Why would Jesus do a miracle where he pays the same tax and equal tax for him and for St. Peter? Is that then saying that St. Peter is greater than the rest of them? And so they react. Lord, who is the greatest? Who is the best among us? St. John Chrysostom says this, then being ashamed to admit what they felt, the disciples, they did not openly say, "Why have you honored Peter above us?" They were too embarrassed to say, "Why have you made Peter better than us?" And they couldn't even say, "Surely he is not greater than us." But when they became ashamed, they asked less definitely, who then is greater, Lord?" In a very humble way, "Who then is greater, Lord?" When they saw originally, as you know, the Lord had three favorites. Not favorites, but he had a core. And those core were Peter, James, and John. Whenever he did anything in certain miracles, whenever he went to pray, he would keep these three with him. They were his core group inside the 12. And the disciples had seen that and they weren't disturbed by it. When they felt that there was a couple of them, it was okay, it was okay. But when he picked Peter in particular, they became disturbed. So St. John Chrysostom says, when they had seen that the three were honored above the rest, they felt nothing of the kind. But when one person took the highest honor, they were hurt. They were hurt. So then Christ's response to this question is a trying, a method, an idea, an attempt to heal them of their hurt pride. And that hurt, that wound is always pride. Always pride. There's a very interesting story of Saint Serapion, one of the Desert Fathers. He said one day, and I think I may have told you this story before, he said that there was a young monk that used to come before him. And when they would stand there, and everyone would come together around Serapion, the young monk would come and sit at the feet of Serapion. And then the second an elder would walk into the cell, the young monk would quickly jump to his feet and say, no, I'm not worthy to sit at the front. I'm not worthy to sit at your feet, Serapion. Let me take the back place. And let the elder, the senior monk, come and sit at the front because he's more holy than me. He's more worthy than me. I'm the least worthy. I'm the most scorned. I'm the most despicable. I'm not worthy to sit at your feet. So Serapion then said to him, okay, good. Go to the back, please. The next day, the monks were talking and they were saying, that young monk is so holy. He's so humble. Serapion said, okay, let's see. Let's see. The young monk came. And this time he sat at the feet of Serapion as his usual custom was. As the elder monk then walked into the room, Serapion quickly, before the young monk had a chance to say anything, before he had a chance to get up on his feet, said, you scorned little monk, who do you think you are? Go to the back. Go sit at the back. You're not worthy to sit next to us. Make room for those who are worthy. Make room for those who are holy. The young monk got so upset, started crying and left. Serapion then turned around to the monks and said, was it humility then? Humility is not saying that I am second. It's not saying, anahati, anahati, I'm not worthy, I can't do anything, I don't know. Humility is that when somebody else puts me second, not when I put myself second, when somebody else puts me second, when somebody in authority that I respect puts me second, not someone I don't care about, somebody in respect, somebody in authority puts me second, when I deserve to be first, and it makes absolutely no difference to me. And I think it's right. That's right. That's humility. So Christ then is reacting to their hurt pride. Did he say to them, you're not worthy? Did he say to them that Peter is greater than the rest of you? Did he say to them, listen, the rank of disciples is like this, Peter, then James and John, and then the rest of you are down there? He didn't say anything. But when they felt they were being put second, when they felt that Peter was ahead of them, they were hurt. It's a symptom. It's an indication that I have pride. And so I need to look at myself. I need to look at my life. When I've been hurt, when I've experienced anger, when I've experienced sadness because somebody belittles me, somebody puts me second, somebody ignores me, somebody doesn't give me my rights. Why am I so hurt? Why am I so angry? Why am I so upset? Is it because I have pride? Is it because I lack humility? And so then Christ responds to that question in a very intriguing way. He introduces a child into their midst, puts a little kid in their midst. It makes no sense. Imagine you're sitting there, the disciples are saying to the Lord, who is the greatest among us? Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus says, have a look at this little child. That would make no sense to them. The innocent, unself-consciousness. You know how normally we talk about somebody that is self-conscious, somebody that is self-aware, somebody that is obsessed with themselves, somebody that can't look outside of himself. The child is the opposite of that. He's unself-conscious. And so for the Lord Jesus Christ, he was the antithesis. He was the opposite of the disciples' interest in power and greatness. St. Jerome says, why did he choose a child? Why did he choose a child? He says, just as this child whose example I show you does not persist in anger, does not persist in anger, does not long remember injury suffered, does not hold grudges, is not enamored by the sight of a beautiful woman, does not think one thing and say another, is not two-faced, does not have ulterior motives, St. Jerome says, so you too, unless you have a similar innocence and purity of mind, will not be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. And I would add something. Even when a child makes a mistake, there is still 100% resolution. Things are very simple for children. Look at any of your children, any of your grandchildren. Children don't hold grudges against those who sin against them. They don't say, oh, Dad, remember in 1916 when you gave me a smack? They can't remember it 2 minutes later. They're giving you cuddles, forgetting about everything. They're happy, enjoying their lives. But by the same token, they don't hold grudges against people that sin against them. They also don't dwell on their own mistakes. When they do something that is wrong, when they throw a glass on the ground and they break the glass, when they eat somewhere they're not supposed to, when they run somewhere they're not supposed to, and you tell them off or you get them in trouble, they cry, they say sorry, and the very next second, they're running and smiling and playing and perhaps even doing the same mistake again. That is what Christ is trying to tell us. Be like children. Be like children. Have that simplicity. Don't constantly be self-obsessed. Don't constantly be worrying about how you're appearing to the world. Don't want to constantly worry about your rights. Just be simple. Be. St. Hilary of Poitiers says this. For children follow their father. This is why he's saying why the Lord chose a child. Children follow their father. They love their mother. They don't know how to wish ill on their neighbors. They don't sit there looking at another kid or at another adult and say, I can't wait to get my vengeance on them. I can't wait to fall until they fall and I can laugh at them. I can't wait until iniquity comes upon their houses. They show no concern for wealth. They don't care about how much money mum or dad has. They want a lolly. They want 20 cents. That's their only concern. It makes no difference to them whether dad has $5 in his account or whether he has $5 million in account. They don't care if they're driving around in some little, 1980 Datsun bomb or whether they're driving around in a Rolls Royce. It makes no difference to them. They don't care if you take them to the greatest, the Eiffel Tower, or whether you take them to the park on a swing. There's a simplicity there. St. Hilary of Poitiers continues. They are not proud. They don't hate. They don't hate. They don't even know the concept of hate. They don't lie. Although sometimes they do. But when they do, they're not doing it out of evil intentions. They believe what has been said to them and they hold what they hear as truth. We must therefore return to the simplicity of children, St. Hilaire of Poitiers says, because with it we shall embrace the beauty of the Lord's humility. When we look at a child and become like even the youngest of children, we become like Christ. We embrace his beauty. We embrace his humility, his simplicity. And that is what Christ is calling us to do, because this is how he himself actually acts. There's a very interesting Greek metropolitan by the name of Hierotheos. He's a very powerful man that wrote an incredible book called Orthodox Psychotherapy. And the whole point is about analyzing our intentions and the way that we act. And he talks about one very simple concept, the difference between a simple thought and a compound thought. He says this. He says, the aim of any Christian is to become somebody that is simple in their thoughts. Not simple-minded as in unintelligent. Simple. So that, for example, somebody comes and insults me because they're angry because I parked in their way. The simple reaction to that, the simple thought to that is that he's upset. I parked in his way. That's why he's upset. Okay, let me go move the car. The one that has compound thoughts looks at that. How dare he speak to me? Doesn't he know who I am? Doesn't he give me my respect? How dare he raise his voice like that in front of my family? Maybe he's got something against me. Maybe he's got envy. Maybe he's jealous of me because I've got a nice car. A compound thought. Okay. I'm at home and my wife says to me something like, you know, could you please help me? You haven't helped me in a while doing the dishes. Simple thought. My wife needs some help. Let me do the dishes. Compound thought. Why is she saying that? Doesn't she recognize how much effort I put in? That I go 9 to 5 to work? That I put so much effort in? That I do everything for her? That I've given everything? I don't do anything for myself and I do everything for her? What's wrong with her? Why is she like this? Simple thought versus compound thought. I'm two friends and we're at school and my friend says to me, you know what? I'm just going to go play with that girl over there. Simple thought. She wants to go and play with the girl over there. Maybe she's got some other activity that's interesting. Compound thought. Why doesn't she want to play with me? What's wrong with me? Does she not like me anymore? Does she think she's better than me? Do you see then the simplicity versus the compound thoughts? And that's what happens as we get older. Our thoughts become more compound, whereas children maintain this simplicity of thought, this beautiful simplicity, this total disinterest in how they appear, this total disinterest in the way that the world perceives them, this total disinterest in their rights. They just be. They just be. And that's what Christ is calling us to. And so the Lord says to the disciples, unless you convert and become like these little children. That word convert that he uses is a shocking word. The word is strafete in Greek. Literally to turn. To repent. And so they ask him a question. Who's the greatest, Lord? And he tells them, repent and become like these little children. Repent and become like these little children. They must have been shocked. You can imagine the excitement. You know, sometimes, you know, you're a soccer team, you go up to the coach, you go, who's the best soccer player? Who's the best among us? Or some friends will go up to a group of girls and say, you know, who's the best looking? Which one of us boys is the best looking? There's an excitement there. They're fishing for a compliment. The disciples are fishing for a compliment. And yet Christ completely turns it on their heads and says to them, you have totally misunderstood my message. If you are concerned about who is the greatest. The second you ask that question, you show that you have no concept of the kingdom of heaven. You have no concept of Christianity. You have no concept of who Christ is. The greatest in the kingdom is the one that is humble, the one that is not self-obsessed, the one who couldn't even think of the question, who is the greatest among us? The one that if you asked him that question, he says, I don't care. That makes no difference to me. That makes no difference to me. The one who simply cares to be with the Lord, to simply be in his presence. One of the Psalms says, it is enough for me, Lord, to even be a beast in your field. I don't care how I compare to the person next to me. I don't care what rank you put me in. My only concern, Lord, is that I'm in your field, that I'm in your house. That's my greatest joy, to be in your presence. That's my greatest joy. So next time, be very careful when you silence a child, or when your children are playing, or when they're acting, or when they're making noise, and you're saying shh, and you're worried about the manzar, you're worried about their appearance. You yourself be quiet and look at them. see that they are the perfect example of humility. We need to learn from them. They do not need to learn from us. If anything, they learn worse from us. They learn how to be worse people from us. And we learn how to be better people by looking at them. So look at your children. Watch their behavior. See the way that they react. St. John Climacus says, just to end, he says, Satan fell from heaven by a single sin. What was that sin? What was that sin? Pride. Because of a single sin, a single vice, Satan fell from heaven. And so St. John Climacus says this, likewise, we can ascend to heaven by one simple virtue, humility. Nothing else. Purely humility. If Satan can fall from the greatest heights to the greatest low by one sin, we can rise from the most depth, the greatest of lows, to become the greatest in heaven by a single virtue, to be humble. How? Learn from your children to be simple. Simplify your thoughts. Practice it on a daily basis. Whenever you find yourself becoming angry, frustrated, hurt, wounded, stop. It's a symptom. It's a sign that something is wrong. Stop and imagine Christ himself saying to you, when you're feeling hurt, and saying to him, who then is the greatest? What about my rights? But what about me? How can you not respect me? How can you not respect me? What about me? Hear the words of Christ saying to you, look at this little child in front of you. Unless you convert and become like him, become simple in your thoughts, become humble, nothing you do makes a difference. Alright? Let us all, this week, the coming weeks, whenever we feel that pain, whenever we feel that cringe, turn, think about this gospel message, and Christ is saying to us, look at this little child, look at their humility, become like them, and then you'll enter the kingdom of heaven. And unless you become like them, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. It's actually quite beautiful, because the reaction of the disciples is that they learn. They move on, they learn, and they spend their lives doing this. Let us be like these disciples. Let us be like these disciples who looked at Christ, who had mistakes, in their personalities, who totally misunderstood the kingdom. And yet, because Christ corrected them, they took that to heart, they moved on, and they became the incredible saints. May God give us all to learn the humility. May God give us all to ascend to heaven by a single virtue, which is humility. Glory be to God forevermore. Amen.